It is Wednesday, July 8th, 2015, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is Maryam Alshamsi, a sports reporter with the National. Maryam, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well, we'll get right into the biggest news in domestic football, and they don't mess around in the Garden City, folks. It's only been in the past 24 hours where there's been almost a complete turnover in Al Ain's foreign roster. In case you've been under a rock for the past week or so, Al Ain they've let Miroslav Stoch go. They didn't renew his loan deal. They brought in Ryan Bobble, a former Liverpool forward. You might have heard of him. And in the biggest news in all of the AGL, just happening overnight, they have sold Osamu Ajion, their lead striker, to Chinese Super League club Shanghai SIPG. And then in the place of those, to fill those foreign spots, they've brought in Brazilian midfielder Felipe Bastos from Vasco da Gama and Nigerian striker Emmanuel Emenike on loan from Fenerbahce. And the only foreign holdover is Lee Myung-joo, the Korean. Maryam, we'll start with this. Mm-hmm. How does this shake up the team that they were the best in the AGL by a wide margin last season?
Yeah, that's true. I think they need to change for a while because if you can realize in the Asian Championship, they weren't at their best form. It's not because of anything. It was the tension. I think Ryan Bubble is a good signing for Al Ain. He can fulfill the squad, and he's part of the foreign squad as well. And he does have the tool to succeed in Al Ain because he's kind of versatile, you can say. And he's been to different clubs, different countries. He's been to England. He's been to the Netherlands, Turkey. And he did say that he wants to experience in the United Arab Emirates. And he did say that the next step in his journey is in Al Ain, so he can showcase his talent. The thing is, with him, he did not really succeed in Liverpool. He did not play, but he's still like part of the Liverpool squad. You know, he's important. He has a pace, he has a technique, he has a shot power, he has a balance, and he has the physique tailored for the English game.
Mm.
So I think he's important for, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to play with the foreign players in Al Ain.
Yeah, because I think for the past year, if not more so, they've had, certainly as far as the AGL goes, remarkable stability. Mm-hmm. And then Jian and has been able to form an understanding with Omar Abdulrahman and then the local players. But I think Jian, they brought him in 2011, and for not a lot of money from Sunderland. And,
yeah, that's right.
And all he's done is score goals and win titles. Yeah. It's remarkable. If there's a better signing, as far as money spent to on-field performance and titles won, I'd be hard to think of one, but. What do we think of Al Ain selling Jian? Can we read anything into that, or is the fact that Shanghai were willing to offer 81 million dirhams for a 29-year-old striker just too good to pass up?
I think it's a good thing for him to leave Al Ain because since Jian's prime has passed and he's 29 years old, so emerging to other leagues, such as the Chinese league, and to pay high amounts in order to entice good players, but not necessarily world-class players. But, he can showcase and generate in the domestic league. You know, it's an opportunity for him to go other places with top big amount of money as well. So it's a win-win thing for him. That's what I think. And he can encourage other generations to look up to him, in the domestic league, So I don't think it's a bad signing. I think it's a good thing for him. And I hope he does succeed in Shanghai.
All right. And that's far from the only big move that's going on. Transfer windows in the UAE are rarely boring, but this one seems to be more action-packed
really
than most. For example, Al Wahda, who've been successful, but not maybe not quite as much so as they would have liked recently. They've brought in Javier Aguirre as coach, as the former Japan and Atletico Madrid and Mexico manager. And they signed Danielson, formerly of Arsenal and Sao Paulo. And there's still moves in the works to bring in Jorge Valdivia. Of Alien fans will remember him very fondly. Now, Mariam, I believe you were at Javier Aguirre's introductory news conference. What are your impressions of him?
He was very confident, very well-spoken. I think he knows what he wants to do with Al-Wahda. He did say that he has watched all their games last season, and he has recognized some of the good players as well that he can maybe, make them better, maybe. I think he wants to play maybe the Spanish style, since he has the influence from Atletico Madrid and his experience in Spain, as well as I asked him a question about his formation, what he's going to do with Al-Wahda, and I mentioned the 4-2-3-1. A tactic, the formation, and he said it's mostly used in the Spanish league. And I asked him if he's going to do that. He did not answer on that, but I think he's going to use some Spanish football style to Al-Wahda. And he's been talking to the players like one-on-one, to get to know them more. He did say that, and as well as He was very interesting. He was very he spoke a lot. He gives us ideas. He doesn't like stop about. He's very confident about what he says. He's not hiding anything. He's very interesting. I think he's one of the best signing. I hope.
Yeah, and having watched his Mexico teams up close and personal while I was living in the U.S., he and his teams never lack for attitude. So that'll certainly be fun to watch when the new season starts up. And real quick, there's so many moving parts in this time of year, but as we just also since the last podcast we've done, Al-Shabaab, they've let Edgar Bruno go, and they brought in another Brazilian striker, Joe, formerly of Manchester City. And then Al-Ahly have let Luis Jimenez go, and he's landed Al-Nassr, as well as former Roma midfielder Marquinho. And then Al Jazeera, they've let Manuel Lanzini go on loan to West Ham United, and then they're still in the works that proposed move for Gervinho. It sounded like it kind of blew up in everyone's faces. So, Mariam, what are the as far as the other moves and potential moves in the AGL so far? What are the biggest ones, do you think?
I think the biggest one is Danielson to Al-Wahda. And I hope Valdivia, he's one of the biggest since he won for the Copa America for Chile. But I think Danielson is the most interesting one for me because I've been watching him, between 2008 and 2009. And as a midfielder, he's just 27 years old now. When I was watching him in Arsenal, he used to allow Fabregas, he had to give him the freedom to utilize his ability further on the pitch. And he held the midfield, and he was even Wenger, Arsene Wenger, the coach of Arsenal, he said that he's a linked midfielder. And one of his job is to win the ball, and also possession. But, towards the end, he had so many injuries and problems and all that kind of stuff. But I think he's really good because there were times where, like, he likes to go further on the pitch and he scores outside the box. He's the most interesting one to me, probably, other than Valdivia, So, but because it is it was a sure signing for him, so I think he's the most interesting one. But I'm shocked about Javier, Joe, especially Joe. I don't think I'm not interested in him. I think he started to his time to coexist with the youth development as a specialist in Brazil. And he had so much money, and he kind of used that. He was pampered for a while. But he was good when he was at Atlético Mineiro. He was a top scorer in South America in 2013. But I don't think he's consistent, and I think that's a bit of a problem. That's my opinion on him.
Mm. All right, we'll have to see that one plays out. He did send Al-Shabaab a video asking them to sign him, which is a bit forward as football players go. But I think we would be remiss if we spent the whole time on the AGL, because also there's other fun news coming out of the world of football. And then the Women's World Cup just finished a few days ago. And then there were five teams in Asia, four of whom made the knockout round. But all five teams were from East Asia. And we got to ask, we wonder, like, what is the state of women's football in West Asia and the UAE specifically? I mean, the UAE they're 73rd in the world rankings after playing in the Aphrodite Cup earlier this year, and the highest among the Gulf teams, and second in West Asia only to Jordan, who were the only West Asian team at the last year's Women's Asian Cup. Miriam, what was your experience as far as women in football growing up down here? And did you play, and then were girls encouraged to play?
Well, back then, it was not just like you want to be a professional. Playing football was just for fun. It was in sports, like at school. Different school used to play together. I used to play with them. I played as a midfielder, and I wasn't that good, to be honest. But it was a good experience for me. But the thing is, in the women's football, generally sports is not really important because, you know, culturally speaking, it is like forbidden, and you know you cannot showcase your talent or anything because there are men involved, and that's what is backing us off at the moment. But more and more people are understanding, and one of the things that started for female to start with sports is jiu-jitsu, and that's when women got more encouraged. But now, speaking to football, there's a lot of girls that are willing to play. Their parents are very open about it. I think it's gonna get there. You know, it just needs time. It just needs. It's a very young country, you know, and it won't happen in one day. It takes time. But I think the UAE women's football, they're really good. They're really passionate about it. But I hope they do continue, because a lot of them, they play and then they stop. They're like, no, I'm going to get married. I just have to be with my husband. You know, that kind of stuff. But now more and more people are accepting towards sports. And I think Sheikh Abdullah, because he kind of, and Sheikh Mohammed, because he kind of introduced the jiu-jitsu. More and more girls, they got into it because he encouraged not just males, he encouraged females. And that's like an open door for them to try other kind of sports. I don't know if you heard of Muna Sahlawi. She is the president in the Al-Nasr, the committee. And I spoke to her once, and she told me that we need more women. She was looking for more women to play as a local, you know, as an Emirati to play. And she said, we still lack a lot of things, but at the same time, it's getting there. I think it's getting there. I hope so.
All right. Well, we'll have to watch that play out. And it sounds like the FA are putting more resources and more time toward the women's team.
So I think they need to put that.
Sure. Yeah. And there's nowhere to go but up so far. But for now, you've been listening to The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Deepthi Unnikrishnan and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at NATSportUAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.